This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 31st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about President Bush's visit to Peoria yesterday and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. As mentioned, President Bush traveled to Illinois Tuesday to highlight his economic record, visiting the factory owned by Peoria-based Caterpillar. The heavy machinery company has posted record profits in recent years, which the president attributes in part to his administration's trade policies. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat, says Caterpillar has done well in recent years by exporting to foreign markets, but he says the president's economic message won't play in Peoria.
We've lost a lot of manufacturing jobs in this country, and the people in Peoria know that. As successful as Caterpillar's been, we've lost 3 million manufacturing jobs under this president. Replacing a manufacturing job with a convenience store job is not a one-for-one trade.
Durbin says President Bush is failing to enforce current trade agreements, including one with China. The senator says that continues to put American jobs at risk. Democratic presidential candidate Senator Barack Obama says U.S. combat forces should be out of Iraq by spring 2008 to end what he calls a foreign policy disaster. But the Illinois senator stopped short of endorsing a cutoff in funds. Obama introduced a bill yesterday to force the redeployment under law, but that's unlikely while Bush is president. Still, Obama said he's taking Bush up on his challenge to critics to offer alternatives. Obama's bill would cap troop levels in Iraq at the early January level of around 130,000 when Bush announced he would send 21,500 additional U.S. forces to Iraq. It would require that troops begin coming home on May 1st. Some Democratic rivals have called on lawmakers to withhold funds for the additional troops. Illinois' National Guard has among the worst inventories of equipment necessary to handle a disaster at home or a war overseas. That's according to a report prepared by federal investigators comparing Army National Guard units across the nation. The report was released yesterday by the General Accounting Office, Congress's investigative arm. It showed Illinois with about 45% of its authorized inventory as of November, eighth worst among the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and three U.S. territories. Senator Dick Durbin says the report confirmed his worst fears. He says the shortfall could handicap the Illinois Guard's ability to respond to everything from natural disasters to terrorist attacks. An Illinois National Guard spokesman was not immediately available for comment. Now that prosecutors have decided against criminal action, it's up to the University of Illinois to determine its course in the case of a website that included perceived threats against Native Americans and one student in particular. Dean of Students Bill Riley won't confirm that a disciplinary committee has received the case, but Riley says there is a procedure for action against students if they violate university codes, and it starts with the Office of Student Conflict Resolution.
Most of the time, if the violation is a minor one, a hearing officer in the office will take that disciplinary action if they find that there's evidence of code violation.
Riley says any more serious finding would be referred to a hearing panel of faculty and students, which would investigate further. Earlier this month, the social networking site Facebook removed a website set up by students who support the Chief Illiniwek symbol. It included a comment calling for, quote, a tomahawk to the face of an anti-chief organizer. Champaign's smoking ban is now in effect in its first day, and a local public health official says Urbana's smoking ban has served as good practice for enforcing Champaign's. Nikki Hillier is a program coordinator with Champaign-Urbana's Public Health District. She says there have been few complaints since Urbana restaurants and other workplaces went smoke-free 6 months ago. A few were related to the posting of proper signage and providing of ashtrays outside establishments. Hillier says two complaints came from other workplaces. Urbana bars have been smoke-free since the start of this month. Champaign's ban impacts bars and restaurants. Hillier says both cities are doing a better job with their education campaigns.
Champaign did a mailing. They mailed everybody signage so that they all have that. And they don't have the ASHTRAE requirement. And, you know, I think, you know, the town has had at least the last month, if they, you know, go out at bars or whatever, to prepare. Both cities have tried to do the best that they can to educate the community on the new ordinances.
After a couple complaints, if an establishment fails to comply, the public health district will conduct an investigation and forward it to local law enforcement. Hillier says that hasn't happened as of yet. The season's first winter storm is costing Illinois about $19.5 million. State officials say the money has been used for cleaning up the extensive damage in the storm's aftermath. The blast of winter weather started November 30th and continued into December. Severe conditions downed trees and power lines, leaving tens of thousands without power for days. Earlier in the week, Governor Rod Blagojevich asked President Bush to declare 26 Illinois counties federal disaster areas. That would allow state and local governments to recoup up to 75% of the cost of cleanup. Blagojevich says the counties are still dealing with the effects of the storm nearly 2 months later. Illinois Representative Lou Lang is once again taking up the cause of expanding gaming in Illinois. This time he's getting a tepid reaction from a key gaming supporter. Shauna Lee has more.
Representative Lang wants Illinois to add 4 casinos, one of which would be in Chicago. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley supports a Chicago venue, but he doesn't want a private company to run it.
Taxpayers should own it, because what happens is, once you give that license out to any individual group of individuals, they in turn flip it for millions, billions of dollars, and you never get the profit. So why don't the taxpayers keep the profit? Simple as that, if you're going to have gaming in Illinois.
Illinois' General Assembly repeatedly turned down calls for public ownership of casinos. The latest gaming proposal gives plenty of incentive for passage, though. It would create a new pot of gaming money for Chicago, the suburbs, and downstate towns to share. I'm Sean Ali.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. President George W. Bush came to the Peoria area yesterday. He presented an award to a local literacy volunteer, dropped in at a local restaurant, and toured a Caterpillar facility in East Peoria. Tanya Kuntz reports on the president's visit.
Domestic economic policy was a subject of the president's visit, but he also took some time to enjoy at least one characteristic unique to Caterpillar Building SS.
And I'm impressed by a culture of excellence and accomplishment that is the spirit of Caterpillar. I also appreciate the chance to drive a D10. If you've never driven a D10, it's a cool experience.
The D10 is the second largest track-type tractor Caterpillar makes. Building SS in East Peoria is the only place in the world the D-Series 9, 10, and 11 tractors are manufactured. Countries like Chile, China, and Argentina use the gigantic earth-moving equipment in their mining efforts. Mr. Bush says Chile has become Caterpillar's fifth largest export market since the 2002 bilateral trade agreement was enacted with that country.
Because we lowered trade barriers and said, you treat us the way we treat you, it has enabled this company to sell more product than ever before, which means people are working when you have to make the product.
Caterpillar officials estimate the company's added about 10,000 jobs to its workforce to handle the increased productivity. But that's not limited to Chile. China is another major market recently opened to U.S. exports. CAT CEO Jim Owen says President Bush's economic policies have contributed to CAT's recent growth.
Tax cuts that have incentivized investment, lowered tax rates, I think, drive GDP growth, and trade agreements, free trade agreements, and he continues to push for multilateral as well as bilateral trade agreements and keeping the door open to China, which many in Congress, I think, would be inclined to turn away from. And I think to the detriment of the world's citizenry, not just ours.
Owen says CAT exported a record $10 billion in products from the U.S. in 2006. But not everyone feels rosy about the state of the president's domestic policy. Steve Cape has worked for CAT for 32 years as a laborer. He says the president's trade policies are helping Caterpillar, but not necessarily the average worker.
If the companies are making record sales and record profits and that kind of stuff, you would think that it could be a little more fair and they could help us out a little more on the benefits and the wages. People in here assembling tractors for $15 an hour, you know, and they're paying for their insurance, and it ain't covering a lot. So it's creating problems for a lot of people. Their standard of living is coming down to where they can't afford to spend as much money in the economy, so actually it hurts your economy instead of helping it.
Union members may not be the only people concerned about the individual impact of the Bush administration's economic policy. Democratic Congressman Phil Hare of Rock Island says the president needs to visit companies that aren't as successful as Caterpillar.
Go to places like the steel mills in Indiana, the textile plants that used to be in the Northeast, and the clothing places that we still have that are hanging on in Chicago by their thumbnails, and say, look, you know, what are we going to do to protect those jobs, and what are we going to do to give our workers a level playing field? You simply can't compete if you're a clothing worker making unionized, making $8 an hour against 16 cents an hour overseas. You just can't do it.
But Hare says he supports the Bush administration's tax breaks for small businesses. While some debate the merits of the president's economic policy, others took the opportunity to protest the president's strategy in Iraq.
This president has just shown time and time again a refusal to listen to anyone who disagrees with him. We need to look for ways to figure things out diplomatically. And this idea of it's my way or the highway and, you know, everything comes down to force and military is a disaster. It hasn't worked and it's not going to work, and it's time for a change.
Bush's motorcade would have gone right past where Monica Ball and others stood outside Huck's in East Peoria picketing his visit. But others inside Caterpillar Building SS were just happy to see the president recognizing Peoria. Cat employee Kevin Betts.
I think it's just fascinating that he chose this building, you know, where I work. I feel kind of lucky, that's all.
The president gives his State of the Economy speech today in New York. I'm Tanya Kuntz.
Tomorrow we'll hear more about Champagne's smoking ban that went into effect at bars and restaurants last night. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, we're getting no break from the chilly conditions. Increasing clouds today, the high around 25 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, a 50% chance of snow, the low around 20. And for tomorrow, cloudy, with highs in the upper 20s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News. Thank you.